بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. When I was small, I was very scared of the sajda ayat. Because we always used to learn that if someone's reading it, then just before he comes, they say, shh, you make the sajda, don't make it on me. It became like a scary thing, like I don't want an extra sajda. When we started learning the meaning of Quran, one thing we noticed is in wherever that sajda is made, it's like an honor at that moment to go into sajda. So although we hear it's wajib, like we don't like that word. Wajib means like you must do it. And whenever that happens, it's like I don't want to. But those places where that sajda comes are so unique, like Allah Ta'ala says, as for my selected servants, they are not shy to put their head down. And there it comes, wajib to make sajda. That individual who at that moment drops his head, like it's like he's signing that my name can also be in that register. Allah Ta'ala speaks that there are two groups of people. One is the one who's stubborn. He wants to fight against us. Let him call his jamaat. We will call our jamaat. He says, don't be like him. You rather be the one, come closer to me. Go in sajda. And immediately that individual goes in sajda. For which reason we explain that although we learnt a masala in madrasa, and normally in the Hifz classes this is known, like that just carry on learning your sabak and one day when you graduate, just make 20 sajdas every day. And finish up all. So that sajda that we'll make later on. Remember one time we were reading Quran in the haram. That time we were still doing hifz. So some Arabs came to sit. And now while we're reading, we passed by an ayat of sajda. So he said to me, make sajda. So I said, no, inshallah, after the khatam. Like. So after the khatam, 14 sajdas will get done. They immediately went into sajda. For them, like, what after the khatam? Because later on when you learn the meaning, you will understand that sajda that's made afterwards will never be equal to the sajda which's made at that moment. Because at that moment, it's like Allah is saying something. Come closer to me, fall in sajda. And immediately the individual responds. He says, those that are with Allah, they will never be shy. Takabbur will never stop them putting their head down. Immediately the individual goes down. To fall in sajda immediately when the ayat of sajda is recited. It is an honor. It is a chance to put your name in a register of very great people. So whenever we get the chance, we hear an ayat of sajda. We normally don't know the meaning. That's one problem with us. But after I have explained so much that the meaning is unique, there was a reason at that moment why Rasulullah ﷺ fell into sajda. It had such a meaning at that moment to say, Allah, I respond immediately. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make us all like that. Immediate response, even if you don't know the meaning. Immediate. How we made the sajda now, we will translate the surah Al-Alaq. This is one surah where many a time also in salah, if we read many surahs, you will see because we're scared of sajda, surah Al-Alaq, even if we read it, we'll stop right at that. Just three ayats before, like, because that sajda. Sajda is an honor for us. Let the sajda come in salah. Let me fall in sajda. Let me cry a little bit. Let me stand up and then read another surah. But to make sajda, we don't run away from it. In some books of fiqh, they have written, if a man got problems in his life, and he wants the doors to open, then he must just collect the ayat where there are sajdas. And he must only read that one and make the sajda. Then he reads the next one, makes the sajda. They went the opposite way. That ayat, you take that ayat. You read that one and you fall. You read the next one and you fall. You read the next one and you fall. And they said that we have found this wazifa mujarrab, like experience showed it worked. That 14 times we put our head in front of Allah when Allah said, my servant, make sajda. And immediately I read it, I made the sajda, I responded. And then they said, then the dua that's made after that. So they went the other way. It's an honor to hear an ayat of sajda and immediately to respond in sajda. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has started the surah. We all know the beginning of the surah, first five ayat. With the beginning verses that were revealed, it was called the initial nubuwa. It was the answer to every thought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that how am I going to change the people of Makkah Mukarrama? If ever you got a chance to sit in the cave of Hira, or even reach there on top, one thing you'll notice is when you hide there, and it's quite high, you see the whole Makkah far away. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would sit, he would look at Makkah Mukarrama, and his thought would be, how am I going to take this nation out of ignorance? They were not stubborn, they were ignorant. In their ignorance, they were ready to kill their children. Not because of knowledge. It was of ignorance that they felt a child is a disgrace, a daughter. How do I see my daughter growing up and giving her to some other boy? I must look after her and he just takes her away. For them, that thought came in their mind. They never thought that my wife is the same. If my father-in-law had killed my wife, I wouldn't be married today. That they couldn't think about. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, when the news of her daughter came to them, their face turned color. And now they would start thinking, must I keep the girl or bury her alive? يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونَ. In disgrace do I keep this child? أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. He said, rather let me just put her in the sand. Ignorance would make a man, even if at the age of 4, his wife would tell him that, you know, this child that you love so much is actually not my friend's child, it's my child. And then his face would just turn. He said, you lied to me. So it means as long as he knew it was the friend's child, and the friend wanted to bury the child. He said, how can he bury such a nice child? We'll take the child. As long as he knew it's somebody else's child, he was ready to look after the child. And he would say, what a mad father. He wants to kill such an innocent girl. And now the mother thinks that now is the right time. He's so close to the girl. And then she says, you know what, it's not a friend's child. This is my child. And then his face just turns. And whole night he's thinking about that, how can I have my own? And then the next morning he walks with the girl. Later on he narrates to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam cries. He says, had Islam not wiped away the past, he said, today you would have seen something from me. How you all did this? He said, I take the girl. She is running behind me. I start digging, she digs with me also. And then he said, I put her in. And she thinks I'm playing a game. Right till the ending, she's thinking I'm playing a game. Now, which man would ever do it? But in ignorance, people did it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Makkah Mukarrama, how to take them out of ignorance. Ignorance for them was darkness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned, my ummah will walk the same course of the people of the past. In the end of my ummah, that turn will go again. In many ways. He said how Islam came running to Medina Munawwara. Because from Makkah Mukarrama they ran, they made hijrat. He said a day will come where Islam will go running back to Medina Munawwara. It will only be in Medina Munawwara that it will find its protection. That was going to happen. And evil which hit the world, that same evil would come back again. When the Renaissance started, they called it the rebirth. Rebirth was known as something died or something was destroyed. We are now starting it again. The Renaissance started it. We are living at the time when it has become mature. Renaissance has become mature. So rebirth means if it was born at that time, what we call, when they say the French Revolution took place, and then we had the Muslim Renaissance, where they said that the Islamic world after what we call World War II, that was the Muslim Renaissance, rebirth, meaning rebirth of evil in the Muslim lands. So if it was born there, today it has become mature. What we will explain in the surah, the initial first five ayat was speaking about that era, darkness and ignorance. It was going to speak about our era, darkness with knowledge. That era was darkness with ignorance. The man would bury his daughter alive because he was ignorant. One of the things that the Renaissance did, if you learnt in school, you would remember there's one word that they say, that the Renaissance took Europe out of the dark ages and it brought it into light. What they meant was that Europe was in ignorance, the church had blindfolded them. We wanted to give knowledge to the world. And that is why they established then schools around the world, universities around the world. And then they said, if you want to teach, you will have to teach our syllabus. Because in recent time in Turkey, the president of Turkey announced when they opened up one university, that the time has reached in Turkey where we will no longer be followers of a Western education. That sentence wasn't heard in the last 100 years. We will no longer be followers of a Western education. He said the West will learn education from us. We can also do. Why must we be followers? They will follow, we'll be the followed. They took over the world and they brought a unique thing called education with darkness. There it was ignorance with darkness. The world entered into a state called education with darkness. If you told a man in the past, what are you studying? He said, science. We said, what do you learn in science? He'll say, I learn the details of everything that is hidden from the normal eye. So the normal eye could only see rain coming down. He said, you cannot see the water going up. He saw it, the scientist saw it. He knew how much of water is going up. He knew what's happening in the skies. He knew how it's changing. He gave names to it. It was evaporation. It was condensation. He knew about the ozone layer. So many things he knew, half or maybe quarter or maybe 10%, we'll never know. In science, there's a lot of lies also, remember that. There's a lot of truth and there's a lot of lies. Whenever they put 0000 on anything, you must know no one made research. Whenever they say trillion years, it means I'll give you such a big number that you also will say, I'm not counting. They speak a lot of lies. You might say they'll never lie. These people got no deen. When we know Muslims lies, when a man who got no deen and a man who worships the devil, they also lie. Lying is their nature. So don't ever fall head over heels of what is known as modern day research. Because majority of the thing hasn't been researched. Everything, when we know in South Africa, when the tax man has to come, if he finally signs, the man for the building has to come and he signs. 3/4 of the time we know he never even saw the place. He never saw the books and we laugh at it. He's supposed to see this site and site. He was in my house having tea. After the tea we spoke a little bit on the phone. I showed him, he said, yeah, looks okay, sign. When that man can sign it off, but that signature means lots, like I researched this thing. 20 years later there's one small move. And that whole building collapses. And then they say, where's that man who signed that you could build on this? He's already gone. He left the country long time. His every signature had no research. We visited places where they said this was top research. When it was asked who researched, no one knows. It's just known someone researched. When we were young, they said butter is very bad for your health. Margarine has been approved by the World Health Organizations. When you ask World Health, means in the whole world, the best doctors got together. You ask, who are they? No one knows. How they approved it, why they approved, no one knows. The only thing is people making margarine at that time scored heavy. And the poor people making butter, their income just dropped. People said, I'll have heart attack if I have butter. I'll get saved from heart attacks if I have margarine. Heart attacks carried on in the world. And margarine carried on, butter carried on also. Who made research? Don't ever fall for modern day research. We read it. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He said, the Jews and the Christians got law to tell us. Because they had books. They were known as the people of knowledge. But they were also liars. He said, they got law to tell us. Meaning if we speak of Yaqub alayhi salam, they'll tell, I'll tell you Yaqub alayhi salam's wives. I'll tell you the names of the wives. I'll tell you where he lived. I'll tell you what age he came. He said, you know that. Sahaba would say, no, we just know he was Yaqub, the servant of Allah. He said, they got law to tell us. But what they were asking for is, but they liars also. Do we listen or we don't listen? So what a word he gave which was going to cover the world. He said, حَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَلَا حَرَجَ. That you can narrate what the people of the book are saying. It will not harm you one bit. حَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. From the people of the book, Bani Israel, Christian and the Jew, you can narrate. They asked the question regarding what was in the Torah and the Injil. The wording that he gave covered everything. When the news will say something, you can narrate it. But narrating means you must say, they said. And then you must say. Don't ever say as though you saw it. When we see the news nowadays, when we narrate it, is as though I'm the reporter. So I was there. He said, you know, 20 people died. He said, you sure? He said, they said. So say from the beginning, they said, because sometimes when you go and ask the people in the town, they say there was no battle here. When we go overseas, they ask, like, you know, in South Africa, there was riots. So their riots, it was bad, the riots, but they will understand the riots went everywhere, like. So when we come, they're like shocked, like you alive still. Because what they saw, he said, no, they said it was so bad. If you were on the ground, some places we never saw it also. Some places it was. That word they said is very important. Haddisu an Bani Israel, narrate from them, no problem. But narrate from them. Meaning always say they said. Who's they? People who have always lied. It's possible they're lying again. What we normally say, anti-masala. Anti-masala means there's always exaggeration. If a woman tells a story, nowadays it's men also. They'll have to make it something more unique than what happened. So sometimes the story goes around when it comes to the man who it happened. He also like, he says, no man, I don't think the story happened like that. So someone will say, you don't know. He said, I was sitting there. How it went in the ending, where it reached, he said, haddi, so you can narrate from them, no problem. But narrate from them. A time came where they became the imams in education. But because they were not truthful, instead of knowledge creating light, knowledge created darkness. So that man buried his daughter alive in ignorance. The world of abortion opened up. The world of science opened up. Where it's supposed to create more believers, it created atheists. Now that scientists, you try to prove to him that who's doing the whole system. But he learned the deeper details to go into darkness. For him, you will say to him, it would have been better if you were born blind. If you were born blind, you would have seen the light of Allah. Allah gave you light in your eyes, you became blind. You saw the whole world, but you couldn't see an Allah behind it. Where he took him? Because the liar was in charge of education. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got his first 5 ayat, it was such a unique composition, where it explained knowledge, but together with knowledge, it has to be on the name of Allah. Otherwise, knowledge will create, and this is what we will discuss. It created Freemasonry. It created Illuminati. It created people who saw millions and billions. The surah was not revealed for non-Muslims.
It is going to speak to a Muslim who so much knowledge will come to him. Either knowledge of Quran and Sunnah also, knowledge of the world. Someone will come to him, say, we like your studies in school, university. We have been following you, you're doing very well. We won't mind paying for your scholarship. It's so expensive, his eyes pop out. He runs home, he says, Daddy, I got the scholarship. They said, we won't mind taking you to Germany to study. We got the best facilities in Switzerland. The father says, my son, grab the opportunity. But that group who's saying, we, no one ever gives money unless something is going to come out. Something is going to come. In the past, what we thought is that after I start working, I must just pay them back, that's all. So they make money. Remember one thing, the shaitani world doesn't need money. The shaitani world does not need money. They got more than enough money to give. Wherever you see someone offering rewards, even if it looks 100% clean, ask your heart when you move with it, that since when did the devil like me? Because when I give ED, I don't give it to my enemy's children. But when the devil starts giving hadaya, rewards, I'll give you so much, you can go for umrah also. Even if it's clean and halal, take a step when you're using it. And your inside will start telling you, I need to pull out. No one gives anything for free, except that he wants to draw you closer. As you start going closer, it becomes very hard. In South Africa, for many years, the word Freemasonry, Illuminati, it was there, but it was quiet. Muslims were taken into the Freemason world. They were made very rich people, but it was quiet. It was happening on a small level. We entered the time where it's happening on a big level. They now don't have the word Freemason. That's gone. They don't have the word Illuminati. That's gone. But there are circles that invite on the name of education. They will take you into their schools, universities. While you will be studying, someone will come to you. They will say, you invited to an island. Why don't you join us? You are a very wealthy person. Why don't you just come for a few days? You say, why are you going? He says, we're just meeting the rich and the famous. When you land on that island, amazing, you will find non-Muslims. You will find Muslims. And you also there. When they sit, they will not ask you to do anything haram. They respect your religion. In that island, there's even a musalla. You will sit and read your Quran after Isha. They got nothing with your Islam. The next day over breakfast, it will be said that what we are an investment group. When you pool your money together, it helps. You are a very wealthy man. You are a very intelligent man. Why don't you join our clique? Everything looks so well. But with knowledge, that ability to be a one step ahead, that's what they'll offer. They said, we have people to tell you what's going to go up in the market. What's going to drop? Before time, we can tell you where to invest, where to pull out. Why don't you give it a try? It's free. And as the man starts, we're saying this, we don't expect anyone in this masjid to have been mentioned, called. But Allah save us if we ever get called. If we had heard about it once in our life before, at least that moment that man might say, you know what, I'm happy how my life is, I don't need more. Finished. Whoever takes that first step, let me try it out. And suddenly you put your 25,000 where he said, and next week it made it. I don't know next week if the pound is going up or the dollar. But imagine I had a friend who will tell me, today invest in the pound. It's 17.50, next week it will be 18. And I just did it. And next week it was. And I told my wife, we're going for Umrah. And she said, when you became rich, son? But as he's going, he's thinking, what a top move that was. So now he waits for the next advice. When the devil starts sending advices, then money flows also And after a lot of money, swimming in money, swimming in money, swimming in money, then the devil finally walks in and says, it's time to pay back. At that time, it's very hard for someone to say, I can't do it. You say, all this money you think was for free. That whole amount. No one ever gives anything for free. When the devil gives, be very scared to pull. Live a life where you are happy. The surah started, Iqra. This will be like a translation, like a translation. Few places we will make a slight explanation. It was revealed at the time of ignorance to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, start the concept of education. His people never know how to read. They never know how to write. They regarded it as an honor. They said, I don't know how to read. It was like a disgrace to read. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wife is coming into the house. He makes a condition. You must learn how to read and write. Education was needed to create revolution. Education was created. It said it will bring light. Education of Islam was the most important. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted them to be educated regarding the world. They had to know how to run the postal service. They had to know how to make weapons. He loved knowledge. But knowledge was linked with the name Allah. So strong it was that even the one who was the very, very intelligent man of worldly affairs, the Hajjud time he was crying on the Musalla. Knowledge was linked with Allah. The world was going to change. That knowledge, whether it was of Islam or of the world, was going to continue in big amounts. The internet would become full with knowledge. Islamic knowledge and worldly knowledge. You can learn things you never knew about. You can just press a button, it will go out of the earth. You will see space again, but how they want to show you space. They'll put you in the waters. Anything you want to know. Up till now, your wife was always the most intelligent in the house. Then you got your phone. Now whatever she said the next day, you could tell her you wrong you. Google said something and now she's chup. All along she knew it all because girls got better memories than boys. She knew the masala. She studied in madrasa, maktab. She tells you your wuzu is broken. Now you're very upset about it. Easy to go to Google. You just want to prove her wrong. Even if you see the masala, wuzu is broken, you'll carry on scrolling until you find wuzu not. You say, this is what I follow. Just because you don't want your wuzu broken. How can she be right? Knowledge started. But it wasn't connected with Allah. When that happened, now we will read the surah. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, Iqara. Read in the name of your Allah. The surah is called Alaq. Just before we translated the last point, Alaq. Alaq means that blood. So the husband met the wife. They had their meeting. Allah tabarak ta'ala created the movement of sperm. As that sperm moved through, then one of those sperm then met what we call like the egg. And that entire process happened, and then something which they call perhaps an embryo or whatever. Whatever happened in the womb, scientists will tell you a lot of things nowadays. The doctor will tell you. In the ending, they do agree on something, that there was a certain time where something then is formed which clings. It clings onto a certain part of the mother. And that manner of it clinging is, if it has to drop from there, there's no child going to be born after that. The environment around it is a deadly environment, whatever it is. It's in the womb, it's in the stomach, wherever it is. But it is clinging, just holding, like a man who slipped from the cliff, and he just managed to hold. And now he's holding. The surah is called Alaq. What message the surah gave? That how we were so dependent on Allah when we were in that womb clinging, that it was only Allah holding us. When we will come in this world and knowledge will come to us, don't ever forget you are still clinging onto the mercy of Allah. Surah Al-Alaq. Knowledge has made many people in the world proud. This surah is going to say, how can you come proud? I taught you. Al-Alaq. We were clinging. We are clinging and we will be clinging. Will be just before dying, you'll see that man, he knows my only hope is Allah. We're clinging when we were in that womb. Our only hope was Allah. In between we have this time when knowledge comes to me. The knowledge of how to make money. The knowledge of how to build. The knowledge of what to invent. And when that man starts on the journey, he forgets that actually I am clinging onto my Allah. Iqra, when you will read, always read in the name of your Allah. Alladhi khalaq, who created. He created me, he created you. Khalaqal insana min alaq. He created man from that thing that was clinging. This is al-alaq. Iqra, continue reading. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. Your Allah is so kind. Meaning He's not going to close the doors for you. This is a unique thing. See the child. When the child reads, you'll never think that this child will one day be a professor. He can't even read A, B, C, D. But this ayat said, carry on reading. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. You get an Allah who's so kind. الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمُ. That through the pen he taught, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. He taught man what man did not know. So me and you now, I got Lord knowledge. I got the knowledge of the world. I did geography, I did science. Now with Google I'm even more. And a day will come when I'll get that special glasses. Already they're talking about, for some people who are ready, they are ready to put something in the mind of the individual. That will be like beyond what we understand. Now you'll have Google in your mind. Now that student in front of the teacher will feel shy. You can't even test that student because he won't be answering, Google will answer. He'll just look at his exam paper and close his eyes and then the answers are there, like Google search. The only thing is you must know what to search for. Some people who like dreams. There are some people who got Lord dreams. I sometimes tell them, I think the only thing you do in life is sleep. Every time there's an email, it's a dream. Like, only, how you have so many dreams? So what they do then, they go Google search. Because Google got it all. So I saw my teeth falling off. Google search. Now when it comes Google search, Google says, you saw your teeth, you're going to die. Next thing, you're going to have long life. Now that man is wondering, now which one applies to me now? Your wife is going to get happy with you. Third one. You're going to see bad days in the future. Fourth, all got to do with you saw your teeth falling. Now he writes now an email that I saw my teeth falling and the interpretation is either dying or loving. Good wife or bad wife. Now he expects me to give like which one is right. Google only got one problem. It doesn't tell you where's the right answer. It gives you all the answers. You have to choose. It'll give you the Muslim answer, the Christian answer, the Jewish answer. But amazing Google is, the first answer that will come will always be the devil's answer. Remember that. When you will do a Google search, you will have to look for the truth. It doesn't come immediately. Before even anything comes, one pop-up will come also. Where one auntie will say, forget all that knowledge, worry about me. Like, and that person is gone. Then his wife telling him, what you do? He says, just some research. But he never found the answer. When knowledge comes with darkness, Allah Tabarakallah says, take your knowledge, read, no problem. Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, but in the name of your Allah. Go searching for a lot of knowledge, but keep your ta'alluq. If you leave out this Allah, kalla, Allah Tabarakallah says, unfortunately, it never happened. Innal insana layatgha. We have found man to be rebellious. That when he was clinging in that womb, everyone said, Allah, save me. Let me come in the world, I'm yours. Then the child came. When the child was screaming for the mother, he said, Allah, get my mother to come to me. But as the days went and knowledge came, it came with darkness. The day the man walks in the world, Allah says, amazing, man is rebellious. أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. He has begun feeling that he is independent. And a man, when he talks, when he fights with his friend, when he fights with his own wife, sometimes he'll say the sentence, you know who I am. You know what I can do with you. That word I was what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to break. He said, there is only one and it is Allah. Everyone else is the slave of Allah. Whether you the boss or you the worker, whether you the husband or the wife, there is no I. Knowledge has come to say to me and you. When a man said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how you eat? He said, you look like a slave. Because the slaves normally, our workers, you see sometimes when they're having lunch, when you go and see where they're having lunch, they're just sitting like. They got no chair. So they just squat and they're eating quickly and you have to get back to work. But when me and you sit, how we will sit? So he said, you sit like a slave. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am a slave. That one sentence. He said, Ana Abdullah. I am a slave. The opposite of the slave is the man who thinks, I am independent. We are not independent. We are the clinging, al-alaq. So he feels he is independent. Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. Let him remember that it is only a few years of enjoyment. His return is towards his Allah. Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. The one who was hanging there will be hanging again. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every man will stand in front of Allah. When he came in the world, he was not circumcised. He said, a day will come where he will stand in front of Allah, not circumcised again. As it started, it will end. At that time, every man will be asked, what hope you got? He said, I'm clinging to the hope of Allah. Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. Then Allah tabarak ta'ala says, ara'ayta alladhi yanha. Abdan ila salla. Have you seen that person? We gave him so much of knowledge. Abu Jahl was known as Abu al-Hikam, the man of intelligence. Because amongst the Arabs, he was known as wise. So whenever they had mashwaras, the Arabs, they had it like this. That they would run to one place which was called like a parliament. And what the wise elders would say, everyone would accept it. Abu Jahl was the man of intelligence. Abul, the father of wisdom. Allah gave him so much knowledge. He says, look at that individual. When he sees the slave of Allah trying to make sajda, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in sajda. He would sometimes tell people, go and throw dirt on his back. That heavy dirt of the stomach of the camel, that entire weight which is heavy, Allah's Nabi is in sajda, they drop the whole thing on him. To stand up with that weight itself is a mission. Nabi is daughter comes running, she has to push the thing off the back of her father. That thing can break your back. Nabi is in sajda. He says, what you got to do with me making? You don't want to make a sajda, but you can't see me making a sajda. He said, look at that individual. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. That when he sees our servant making a sajda, he comes and says, don't you dare do this. We saw in the world, when the world war took place, certain leaders were put in the Muslim world. They being evil and enjoying the wealth of the world was their story. They could not see anyone making sajda to Allah. It became their passion to close masajid, to send their soldiers to the houses to see who's making sajda. It would be asked to them, you don't make sajda, what you got to do with me? But for them it was a major issue. He says, look at that. We gave him knowledge. Now if someone says that Muslim leader, whoever he was, and in the world if you go, up till today you will find Muslim countries where it's law. No one can read Quran. No one can make sajda. Public places you are not allowed to make sajda. You say a non-Muslim made this law. They say no, this is a Muslim country. You say what happened to him? What happened? He was also once upon a time hanging. And a day came where he was found in the deserts moving. He was a shepherd. He had a very hard life. Some people came to him and they had tea with him. And they said to him that you're going to carry on living like this. We can show you how to become someone in the world. You got a dream. What's your dream? Have you ever dreamt of putting up high, high buildings in the world? He said, me? I'm a shepherd. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked the sign of Qiyamah. He said, when you will see the shepherds competing in putting up the tallest buildings in the world. A man who had no clothes and shoes yesterday, when he competes to put up, how did that man manage to put it up? There will be some of those shepherds who were deemed they put it up. And there will be some of them, when you will see that building, when you will walk inside, you will see only the devil. Only the devil. And you will say, you got a Muslim name, you got a Muslim mother and father, you got a Muslim heritage, you got a Muslim lineage. You might be from the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did you do what you did? And it was that when knowledge came to him, it came without Allah. He was told, we'll put you up, but you'll have to do our game also. And he went for it. He got the girls of the world, he got the money of the world, the cars of the world, tigers in his house. Allah Ta'ala says, one thing he itches, if he has to walk in his house and he sees his son making sajda, then he'll tell his son, what is this? And his son say, I met one jamaat. Say, a jamaat. And then he'll pass a ruling that tabligh is a terrorist group. Don't ever join it. Anyone who joins it in the world, they'll be arrested. You wonder what you got to do with them. He's making sajda. You making the law. Said, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Look at that man who couldn't see a slave making sajda. And then Allah Ta'ala says, how nice if the opposite was. أَرَأَيْتَ إِن كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ. If only this man could have been on guidance. So much of wealth. So much of knowledge. Who and who he could have sponsored. Who and who he could have helped. He could have stopped the wars in the world. He could have just said, you're fighting, I got the oil. Tomorrow I'm stopping the oil. As long as you don't stop bombing a Muslim country, I'm not giving any. He could have said anything. Allah says, how wonderful if he was on guidance. Oh, amara bit taqwa. With his knowledge, with his wealth, if he was telling others. Because people like rich people. I have a friend who got very smart cars. So the children of the town, they like his cars. But for him to give them a ride in the car, they must read Quran. So they all read Quran. He lines them up. I looked at it, I said, like, he's like the sheikh of the youngsters. He said, yeah, because they enjoyed the ride after that. They're reading nice Quran there. In Ramadan, you see them standing. That's when I saw a shock, like, how he got them. We can't get our son to read so much. He got the car. We don't have those cars. That child wants, I can go in that car. He might be even letting the child ride it, like Roshni. But how he used his wealth. How he used it. Allah give us all the tawfiq. If you got the best, use it for the best. It's not meant for this world. That child wants the best drive of his life. Give him the drive. But say to him, but you will go class every day, isn't it? You hear of a child wanting to leave HIV class, you go to him. You're not his father and his mother, you say, what's wrong? He says, no, I see my friends. How they enjoying life? He says, don't worry, I'll let you enjoy life. Come, I'll take you out in the weekends. Come, let's go. We're going hiking. You coming? This boy could never go. He never have the father to spend on him. Now he wants to leave HIVs. He said, no, you make sure you're in HIVs. Weekend, I'm going to take you out. But you carry on your Quran. The boy said, I'll carry on. That boy, whether he drives the car when he's a young boy, where he's driving the aeroplane, said, look at that man. We gave him knowledge. If he could have used that knowledge to invite towards goodness, what will he create? Oh, amara bit taqwa. Ara'ayta in kadhaba wa tawalla. Almighty Allah says, unfortunately, we hardly find that second, we find that first one. Money comes, knowledge comes, they become ruthless, they become evil. They don't want to know the masjid. They become gangsters. They become robbers. Allah Ta'ala says, look at what happened in Kadhaba, when he now falsified. Watawalla, and he turned away. We're not speaking of a non-Muslim. This ayat started with a non-Muslim, Abu Jahl. It became Quran for me and you. He says, what happened when he said, I don't want to listen to the truth? Kadhaba. He knew the truth. Because he also went to madrasa when he was young. He also went. He remembers when I was young, I was reading Kul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq. He remembers that. But life has shown him such things that if someone tells him, are you not a Muslim? He says, just shut your mouth. I don't want to hear about all that. Allah says, what happens in Kadhaba when now he falsifies? And on what he falsified? He had the knowledge. But when the world came with its knowledge, it told him, you'll have to forget Allah. The one that is hanging. He turned away. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَىٰ. Does he not know that Allah is looking at him? This is Quran. This ayat was for me to read and to enjoy the meaning. And it's for you to read and to enjoy. Because the day this world opens up to us and says, let's make one more step forward. This surah Al-Alaq must let me make the decision that I will remain hanging on to my Allah, or am I going to let go? If I'm going to let go, I'm going to fall in that fire. If I don't burn now, I am going to burn. Kalla, again Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, unfortunately. Unfortunately means very few take the message. The others go that way. لَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ. If he will not stop, we will grab him by the hair that comes just above the forehead. Nasiya. Normally when the boy likes to have long hair, then sometimes he takes a slight curly also. When you fight with someone and they got their hair, if they got a beard, you pull the beard. And if they got their hair, you grab it. They used to grab their horses here, because it had that hair. Allah Ta'ala says, we will grab him. لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ نَاصِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. The hair of the liar. The hair of the liar. Like that husband is fighting with his wife and he grabs her and he says, Allah Ta'ala says, we also can grab. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَا. Say to him, because normally when wealth comes and knowledge comes, then you get your jamaat. If you join the Freemason jamaat, Allah save us all, then they'll say, we'll stand with you till the end. And that's the truth. They'll stand with you till the end. But when the end comes, they're not going to stand with you. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, with me there's no end. But Allah, there is no end. We living that world which got no end. When death comes, it's only the beginning. Qabr is only the beginning. Hashar is only the beginning. There's no end. So that group that says, I'll stand with you till the end, it means you are going to leave me. You got an end. I got no end. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَا. Say to him, call your jamaat. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةَ. We will call one angel. One angel. Abu Jahl goes forward and he says, today I will kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after a while he comes back and he's not looking good. And his friends say to him, what happened? And he says, did you not see? They did not see. What he saw? He saw Allah's angel in front. It was so scary, it made him forget everything. But he saw it in this world, where in this world the real picture doesn't come. There's a world where the angels are going to show themselves real. One zabaniya, one angel. Allah Ta'ala says, you call your jamaats, I'll call my angel. Sanad'u zabaniya. That's the end. What that angel will then do? Normally they say in something that's not mentioned, it's even worse. That it's not mentioned because you can't imagine what's going to happen after that. It's like when the gangster says that I'll call my men, and he doesn't say what they're going to do. That silence is deadly. Allah Ta'ala says, I will call someone. Then it's quiet. Then kalla. Allah says, let it not be like this. لا تطيعه. Do not obey him. Who's him? Him is anyone who invites you with knowledge away from Allah. Whether it's a professor who says, I'll give you a job at the university. Whether it's a company that says, work with us. But we got a uniform here. The uniform is, this what you're wearing is not looking good. We want you to come with a tie. The man will ask his friends, they say, wearing a tie is not a problem. The real answer is supposed to be, that if they know for a salary you are ready to sacrifice your uniform, which you held onto for so many years, they will then also know for a higher salary you'll sacrifice your Islam also. Say, walk in that place and they'll make you walk their walk. If ever money invites you away from Allah, a job invites you away from Allah, even if you're a person looking and this is that first opportunity, and you say, let me just take it, I'll get stable and then I'll find something else. But at the moment I'll have to make some compromise. Allah Ta'ala says, don't do it. La tuti'ahu. Wasjud. Where he is taking you away from me, Allah says, you come closer to me. He says, immediately go in sajda. Wasjud. Look at where the ayat comes. That the one is going high in the world. He's being told, I will teach you how to build a triple story is gone. I will teach you the skyscrapers. We will give you the money. You pay us back after 30 years. Who will ever give so much money? No one gives for nothing. Said, we will take you higher, higher, higher. Allah Ta'ala says, I want you to come lower, lower, lower. Wasjud. He says, don't listen to him. Put your head in sajda. Unique this ayat is. He says, let's go higher to the skies. That's what you're doing. Allah says, come closer to me. Highest of high is the Zat of Allah. He's going higher looking for the sky. Almighty Allah said, in sajda is where you're going to find me. This is the meaning of wasjud waqtarib. Rather you fall in sajda and come closer, closer, closer to me. Allah make me and you that individual. This head and the brain in this head has been created to attach to the ground. If this intelligence takes man anywhere in the world away from Allah, away from sajda, then this intelligence is taking man into darkness. Then the alaq is no longer going to be hanging. It will loose and the fall will be taken. When that thing falls, no jannati will be born. It will be the man of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala make us all his selected. In the beginning we made one sajda. Again now we will make the sajda. Wasjud. Make your sajda and come closer, closer to me. And now and then in life, take enjoyment in reading Surah Al-Alaq. Read it with that meaning. You don't know the whole thing, but just remember this one. Alam ya'alam. Does he not know? بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. That Allah is looking. Does he not know that Allah is looking? Read it with a little feeling. Feel bad about it. Say, where am I? And again then sajda and closer to Allah. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala make all of us his selected servants. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala not fall in this road towards him. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala link every one of us with the pious, with the selected of Almighty Allah. May Allah make the akhirat of everyone. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.